This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Lombardi Line with Michael Lombardi and Patrick Maher on VSiN.
Okay, it is the Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM, as we welcome you in on a Thursday. Week 17 kicks off tonight. You know, Michael Lombardi, often late in the year, it comes down to, for bettors, it comes down to motivation. For Tennessee tonight, it's preservation, right? Because they just got to get out of this game. They're going to sit everybody, including potentially Derrick Henry, because Week 18 down in Jacksonville is going to be the division. As we say, hi, Michael, how are you?
I'm great, but it's also, and I said this yesterday on the show, it's also an opportunity for them to get Josh Dobbs some reps, because there's no chance. There's no chance they can go into Jacksonville with Malik Willis and think they have a chance to win the game. There's just no way they can do it. They're not good enough to compensate for his inability, and he's not ready to play quarterback yet. And so, to me, this game tonight, although Al's going to have a bad taste in his mouth, get ready for this, it's going to be a preseason game to a degree, because they're going to need to get Joshua Dobbs some reps to get him kind of comfortable, to get him used to it, to get used to the offense and kind of paint the landscape to get ready to play a playoff game next weekend.
And of course, as we officially welcome you, it is the Lombardi Line, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. You had drama yesterday, plenty of storylines to discuss with you. I've been looking, chomping at the bit to get here this morning to talk to you. Speaking of Malik Willis, so he's thrown for less than 100 yards and no touchdowns in each of his three career starts. The last to do that, four in a row, was, I got to admit, somebody I've never heard of, Randy Hedberg, back in 1977. So Malik Willis is not necessarily prolific so far in three starts.
Yeah, no. I mean, and you know, I mean, like last week, Patrick, he got a grounding call on a free play. I mean, it was just not good. I mean, I don't want to kill the kid. He's not ready to play. And remember, Vrabel took him out of the game in a preseason game, right? I mean, Vrabel removed him from a preseason game. So, like, we know how this is going to work. Like, he knows he's not ready. And so there's no way he could take his team into Jacksonville and have a chance to win, knowing that he can't move the football at all with a quarterback that can't make any throws right now, that he's not ready to play. And it's really not fair to the kid. It's not fair to the kid at all. I mean, he's going to look bad, and it's going to be bad. I mean, he hasn't thrown a touchdown pass all year, Patrick.
Think about that. He hasn't thrown for over 100 yards in three starts. I mean, they're completely afraid of him. They're hamstrung by him.
He can't process it. He can't read. There's no rhythm to his game. There's nothing good. And he's a rookie player, so why would we expect it? I know that he was supposed to be a first-round pick. I know the experts that grade quarterbacks for the draft that never have made a pick in their life thought he was sensational. But, you know, there's a reason he transferred from Auburn to Liberty. There's a lot of things here. I'm not saying he's not going to be a player, but let's put things in perspective here.
You know, what's interesting about that, I'll set up the number, just one more thought, then we'll get to some of the drama from yesterday. What's interesting about that is when you said Vrabel pulled him in the preseason, that may have been a little bit of a power struggle with Robinson, the GM, as well, right? Because Robinson drafted Willis, and Vrabel may not have ever been completely on board with the pick.
He may not have been. I mean, you know, and why would he have been? Like, this guy's not going to help me. You know, coaches are often, who's helping me out next year? And you just used a third-round pick that guy, he's not going to help me win next year. Now, if he's an elite player and we all love him, but I'm sure there was a lot of – I'm sure it was one of those, the scouts see a lot of talent in Willis and the coaches, we're not so sure, right? Like, yeah, he's athletic and talented, but I'm not sure he fits what we do. So you could put that in perspective there. I mean, look, they have one chance to make the playoffs. They have to go into Jacksonville, and they've got to win. And they've got to get some production in the passing game. They just can't keep pounding Derrick Henry and run screens to Henry. They got to do something to make a play. They're not going to pitch a shutout. The last time they played them, Jacksonville exposed their secondary, took advantage of them. And now they're injured. So a lot of these guys – so tonight it's going to be a preseason game. Tonight, I think, if you're really interested in playing it, the Cowboys are a 3-point favorite in the first quarter. I would take the Cowboys in the first quarter hard because I think that the Cowboys are going to come out and try to get this lead, get ahead, and then try to back some of their guys off, get them out of the game. I don't think Pollard would play. I don't know if you should play Mekhi Parsons, but maybe if they do, I would expect this game to look more like a shirt and hat game at the end of where everybody's wearing their hat waiting for the game to get over.
Yep, the market has certainly reacted to the motivational factor for the Titans. Remember, this open 9.5, we're all the way up to 13 with Dallas laying it on the road. Of course, a slew of starters ruled out: Michael Jeffrey Simmons, Hooker the safety, Dupree the linebacker, Cunningham the linebacker, left guard, right guard, both questionable. You know, this is a team that already had their top three offensive linemen on IR. So Tennessee, quarterback. It is just brutal right now, and everything points to next week. So well done with the three in the first quarter. Okay, so we'll have plenty to do on that one as we continue. We've got a new segment, No Way, No Doubt. Shout to Elliot for that one. Samich is going to join. Will Hill is going to join. Of course, it's Thursday. Mike Palm is going to join. I'm not so sure that Derek Carr will be joining the team on the sidelines. So we have to discuss this and, you know, could kind of see the writing on the wall with Derek Carr after the terrible pick in Pittsburgh, but he has been benched and it's going to be Stidham. We'll get to the adjustment on the number. What was your immediate reaction? All full disclosure, obviously your son is the offensive coordinator, but what was your reaction when that finally made the decision to bench Derek Carr?
You know, I was surprised that they just didn't finish the season, but I understand why they did. There's too much money at stake. And I think once they made the decision that this isn't going to be a long-term affair, that they needed to kind of get themselves out of it as quickly as possible to not have any exposure. So let's go back to when McDaniels comes in, right? Coming off a playoff year, Carr played well, threw for 4,800 yards, you know, was played well. So you come in. Now, there's a lot of, I don't want to say disconnect, there's a lot of opinions on Carr throughout the league. Is he an elite player? Is he not? And so if McDaniels walks into the building and says, I want to get rid of Carr, I need a new quarterback, that's not a good look, right? That's what happened in Denver. Got rid of Jay Cutler, and, you know, all of a sudden everything went upside down. So they extend Carr's contract. They give him, basically say to Carr, this is a prove-it contract. We're not sure about you. You've had some good seasons, although you've only had two winning seasons in your career. You know, you've not really been able to stay consistent. Every time the play breaks down, you haven't been able to make a lot of plays. But let's go into this with an open mind. We'll give you this money, and we'll see what happens. And as the season progressed, and you saw this unfold, whether it was the first game of the year against the Chargers, whether it was the second game of the year, where they can't make a play in the second half against the Cardinals, and then the Tennessee game, or throwing the ball in the end zone for a chance to can't make that play, you know, and all of a sudden things start to unravel. And the more unraveling, I think they got to the decision. And Pittsburgh, to me, was the accumulation of it all. You know, you have a chance to kind of keep the ball, 3rd and 5. You got an in-cut wide open to Darren Waller. You throw the ball to Mike Tomlin. You know, then you got to play to Hunter Renfro, and you throw it to the deep end. So I'm not saying those two plays caused it. I think those two plays were similar to a lot of other plays that caused Constant that made the decision that there's no sense in going forward with this.
The particulars, Carr signed a three-year, $121.5 million extension with the Raiders in April, which included a no-trade clause. Carr's entire 2023 salary, which is a little over $32 million, plus $7.5 million of the 2024 salary, is otherwise fully guaranteed for injury. So meaning, if Carr is injured over the final 2 weeks, Las Vegas would be on the hook. So this is purposeful. They're going to sit him, prevent him from getting injured, and then we can reevaluate after the season. The no-trade clause in that extension is a big deal here.
Well, I mean, look, you know, this was basically a deal that both sides said, okay, we don't know where we're going with this, right? We don't know where we're going, so what do you need to make yourself happy? Here's what we need to make ourselves happy. Like, I don't want you to trade me to someplace I don't want to go to. I don't want this contract to have to carry me through if I don't want to go to the team. And I think that's a fair concession the Raiders made, because if Carr comes out and plays great, we're not having this conversation. If Carr makes about 10 or 12 throws that are better, think about this, Patrick. Carr's career, almost a 65% completion percentage. He ranks 30th in expected completions in the league. I mean, he's at the bottom, down by Baker Mayfield, down by a lot of quarterbacks that weren't completing passes. Davis Mills. I mean, he's down that low. I mean, Davante Adams with Aaron Rodgers was at a 74%, a 72%, excuse me, completion percentage of attempts, of targets and completions. He's at 55 this year. Now, is that because McDaniels can't call plays? Is that because the offense is horrible? I don't know. I watch the tape. Like, I see guys open. I don't see the ball. I see Davante Adams wide open for a first down. I see a pop fly down the middle of the field that's intercepted against the Rams. You decide.
So the number opened the 49ers at Vegas, as you know, opened 6. Adjusted up to 10. Now we've seen a couple of shops come back to 9.5 with San Francisco laying it on the road and Jarrett Stidham in. Is that an overreaction as far as the adjustment?
Well, I mean, I thought it was light to begin with Carr at 6. When I first saw the Monday lines, I thought, wow, that's a little light. I mean, how are the Raiders going to block them? How are they going to handle the pressure? Now, I don't know how motivated San Francisco will be, because I think that's a question. Do you really want to play Nick Bosa and Armstead in this game? Do you really want to play a lot of you pretty much have the third seed for sure. Can you get the second seed? I don't know. Maybe if Minnesota loses, you can, so you play this one. I'm sure they will. How much do you play McCaffrey? So I thought that 6 was almost like, do they think San Francisco's not going to play? I think 9's the number. I think it's more realistic. I had it at 8.7 on my power rankings, so I thought it was the better number. Look, I will say this, full disclosure, my son's the OC there at the Raiders. I'm not saying that the Raiders coaching staff is perfect. I'm just saying when you watch the tape, there are plays that make you believe they have to change direction.
I was sitting right there with your wife. End of the first half against the Rams, wide open Davante Adams. He threw a pick. I'm just telling you what I saw. Like, literally wide open.
That's all you can do. All these guys that are apologizing for Carr don't watch the tape.
Musical chairs, quarterback, continues next.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, of course, college bowl season is here, and VSiN has you covered. We have picks, spreads, totals for every single bowl game. Head to VSiN.com and check out our bowl betting coverage. While you're there, now is a great time to become a VSiN Pro. That's how you get the guide. You can become a subscriber for $79. You get access to everything we do now through the Big Dance. So go to VSiN.com/subscribe. It's $79 through March Madness. And as we welcome you back, and Michael Lombardi knows this, I've become kind of the gatekeeper for Thomas Gable and a few others, passing along the picks of the day. When you become a pro, VSiN.com/subscribe, you get Thomas Gable's college basketball picks. Of course, he runs the race and sports book at the Borgata. He went 3-2 yesterday. He just sent me 5 more picks. I just sent them to Elliot. They will be up momentarily. So make sure you go become a pro to get those picks from TG. Okay, we welcome you back. Of course, plenty to do. You kick off week 17. Sounds crazy to say it tonight in Tennessee. A depleted Titans team hosting Dallas, who got off against Philly and scored a bunch. Dak probably played his best game in a little while. I think you would say 347 through the air, 41 on the ground, and 3 touchdowns and a pick for Prescott. Plenty more to do on that. The musical chairs as far as the quarterbacks. So just to wrap up the Carr thing, taking a leave of absence to not become a distraction, what do you read into that? What is that?
Well, I mean, they're not going to play him, right? So they reached an agreement that they said, hey, look, we're not going to play you. And so there's no sense in faking this and having you on the sideline as the third. We don't want to humiliate you and make you the third quarterback. Right. Obviously, you know, I mean, you're better than the backup quarterback Garber. So what? But we don't. So why would we do that? And I think it's kind of a mutual agreement by both that they said, okay, fine. I know I'm going to be a free agent at the end of the year. I mean, I think they genuinely like Derek Carr. Derek Carr's a great kid. There's nothing wrong with Derek Carr. It's just it's performance-based. I mean, I think he would be the myth to say that he missed some throws this year. You know, and can he get it back? Yeah, maybe he can. But I think when you watch the tape, anybody who's sitting there saying, you know, what was fascinating to me when I was doing research on it this morning was as good as Carr played last year, his QBR rating this year is better than last year. I shook my head. How is that possible? He had a 56 QBR rating this year, 52 last year. Like I'm not saying they're good, but he was clearly a better player last year than he is this year. I mean, he threw for 4,800 yards. Now, his sack percentage was higher. His completion percentage was higher. One thing I thought that Gruden was able to do with Carr was get him to throw the ball down the field more. This year, he's back to 7.0 yards per attempt. He's not throwing it up the field.
I think you said something very interesting. When somebody struggles in athletics, we start to conflate that with their personality as well. So they start getting crushed as a person and not just a performer. And everybody loves Derek Carr. The reason he's not with the team is not because the head coach and the coaches and the team doesn't like him. I mean, he's a super likable guy. It's just his performance hasn't been up to par, and he's got to sit. That's the way it is. It's a tough business.
And they've got to make a decision. I mean, look, I think this, when you've had 2 winning seasons, I think it was Mike Sando yesterday. I mean, I believe this is true, but Archie Manning actually had a better winning percentage than Derek Carr has in his career. So really? when you have an elite quarterback on your team, you really have a way to kind of hide and mask it. And Carr has done some of that this year. The reason they're in so many of these games is because he's made some plays, right? But the problem is when it comes down to it, when the play breaks down and the second play occurs, he hasn't been very good. And then when the game is on the line and to make a play, he hasn't been very good. So there's certainly a lot of plays you could say, man, that's a really good play by Carr. That's a hell of a throw by Carr. There's a lot of that. But at the point where the game is determined, those safe plays that determine the outcome of the game, if you're not making those, it's hard for you to say you're going to be a $40 million player.
Musical chairs at the quarterback position. Bridgewater is in. Miami opened 1. Miami opened 2 at DraftKings. So 1 Circa, 2 DraftKings. I think 1.5 maybe BetMGM. Miami at New England. New England now 3 across the board. We'll talk about Tua. Let's first hear from his head coach, Mike McDaniel.
I've been advised by medical professionals that it's critical that Tua worries only about the day that he's currently in and nothing else. He is in the building, but beyond that, it's as medical professionals will tell you, any added pressure, any added sort of anything beyond that day does not behoove the process at all. So I'll take that very serious.
We'll get there. We'll get there. Okay, so Tua is in concussion protocol. He threw 3 interceptions on consecutive drives in the fourth quarter to leave the door open for that Packers comeback. Bridgewater in. I mentioned the adjustment on the number. We'll just call it 1.5. Now bet up to 3 in New England.
Well, I mean, look, the one thing we know about football, right? Football's a team sport. And, yes, they'll miss Tua, and Tua's had a fabulous year in certain areas. There's been no denying that. But I think if you go back to the first game and you watch the first game closely, the 20-7 victory that was against the Patriots, the defense won that game. They forced 3 turnovers in the game. They got 10 points out of those 3 turnovers. I think Miami really had about 1 drive in the game. They threw that fourth down pass to Waddle for the touchdown. Other than that, they really were not in tuned into the game. So for all the people that think because Tua is not going to play, it's going to be an easy win for the Patriots, they haven't watched the Patriots offensively at all. I mean, they haven't watched them. And so this will be a struggle for New England to throw the football. I mean, last time they threw for 193 yards. He was sacked twice, turned the ball over 3 times. You know, they couldn't convert third downs. They were just not good enough. And so this has got to be a defensive struggle. And the offensive line for New England's going to have to play a lot better. I don't think New England's saying, okay, we got Bridgewater, everything's going to be a lot easier. I think New England's worried about their season as well based on how poorly they played for most of that game against the Bengals.
There's not much that social media or just media in general agrees upon, but before the season started, when Matt Patricia was announced he was going to be calling plays, I think we all universally said, yeah, I don't know if that feels right. Will it be one and done for Patricia as the play caller there in New England?
Well, I think there's a lot to go through. I think he, you know, certainly Coach Belichick's got to evaluate where they are. And I can't imagine they can continue down this road, whether it's the quarterback coach, Joe Judge, whether it's the offensive play caller. I think what's lost in all of this, I said this yesterday on Pat McAfee, I've said this here on our program many times, what gets lost in all this is their inability to really, the offensive line's not playing very well. And Matt is running that too. And so he's going to have to do something about it. He needs an offensive line coach, and it's not Matt Patricia. You know, that's not – and so where does that lead him to? I think this is going to be a hard conversation because these guys have been very good to the program. Joe's one of the best special teams coaches in the league. Matt had been on defensive staffs that have won Super Bowls. He's been the coordinator. So this is going to be hard conversations. But I don't think anybody who's watching New England offensively thinks that they can continue to go down this road.
Yeah, I'm seeing a couple of 2.5s pop up now. This morning, when I took a look at the board, New England was, you know, kind of blanketed at 3. Now, you see mostly 3s, Miami and Bridgewater at New England. 2.5s are showing up a little bit here, so maybe a little buyback on the Dolphins.
I think you got to be really careful just assuming this is going to happen because, look, Miami's going to play man-to-man. They're going to get after the quarterback. They're going to put pressure on Mac Jones, and the Patriots have struggled to handle pressure. I mean, it's just they haven't blocked well. The cornerstone problem in New England is their offensive line play. You know, the play calling, I'm not defending that. I think they just run a bunch of plays. They don't run an offense. I've said that. But the real issue, the real core issue, if you want to break it down, is their offensive line play. The inability to improve the line, to get those guys play at a high level, whether it's run blocking or pass protection. And this is going to be a hard game against them. Because the one thing, the strength of Miami's defense is they're going to pressure you. And Josh Boyer knows, who's been in New England for years, he knows how to pressure them. And he will, and I think it'll be hard. And if they turn this ball over, I don't care who plays quarterback for Miami, Miami will win.
Can Belichick lure, remember, is it Dante? Tell me the offensive line coach that came back out
Dante
of retirement.
Dante Scarnecchi. No, I think Dante's pretty much done. But, I, you know, I mean, I think that's the real issue. They let the line coach, Carmen, go to Las Vegas, and they didn't replace him. They put Matt in that role. Well, Matt, as I said this summer when somebody was, we were deciding who is going to call the plays, I said I didn't think Matt Patricia would call plays because you can't call plays and run the line. It's too hard. It's too many things. You're coaching the line. You got five guys you got to sync. You got offensive line is all about technique and fundamentals and drilling. And it's a lot of things that you have to work on. And it's hard. If you're calling plays, you're just working on calling plays. You're not as good as and you're only coaching one guy, the quarterback.
Well, that's not it as far as the quarterback carousel, because when we come back, Ron Rivera, they need a win against the Browns, the Commanders, and they're going back to Carson Wentz. We shall discuss. That number did move. Did it go up? Did it go down? We'll give you the answer. And then Will Hill's going to join as we continue Thursday here on the Lombardi Line.
Listening to the Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, VSiN, we got you hooked up. The holidays are still upon us, so you can sign up right now. $79 through March Madness. If you become a pro, VSiN.com/subscribe. You get a $20 credit immediately when you sign up for the online store, which is very cool. Remember, becoming a pro, they're making money, but you get everything we offer. Michael Lombardi exclusive articles. You get the pro tools, including the betting splits and all of the betting guides. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe. As we welcome you back, we kick off week 17 tonight in Tennessee.
And you get Bill 80 puts a quote in there. I mean, you know, the ability to kind of the range of those newsletters is just really impressive.
Yeah. Bill AD Hemingway. Washington hosts Cleveland. If Washington lost to Cleveland and Detroit beat the Bears, viable, and the Packers beat the Vikings, viable, Washington would be out of it. Okay, so they'd be out of the playoff contention. So this is a huge game for them, hosting Cleveland. Yeah. Ron Rivera is going to go with Carson Wentz. Before you react, let's hear from the head coach of the Commanders.
Well, I think the biggest thing is he's more comfortable with what we're doing. That was evident in the game. In spite of the fact that, you know, they knew we were going to throw it, they kept coming. And I thought he handled those situations very, very well. You know, he got the ball out a couple times hot, got it out to where they needed to be thrown. He threw some really nice balls. His decision-making was very quick. So, I just think that now he's had a little bit more of an opportunity to see the rest of the offense, feel the rest of the offense. And I think that's a big part of it. The other part, I think, is, you know, he got a little bit of a reset. You know, he missed several games. He had an opportunity to heal up, to look and feel better. And I think that's exactly where he is right now.
Okay. Well, the market's not buying Carson Wentz. This number opened Washington 3.5 has been bet down to 2.5. He's just the problem with him is he's a statue and he doesn't throw the ball away. That's what Heineke gave you, a little bit of that escapability. Wentz doesn't, but the reaction to Carson Wentz being named the starter here.
Well, I think he had to do that. Like, I think when you watched his team play, I mean, you know, when you watch some of the games that and Heineke's been able to win, they really haven't been dynamic in the passing game, right? You know, the one game that they made plays in the fourth quarter against the Giants, they threw for 246. Then they come back against the Giants, he threw for 228. Now, you got to throw the ball. Last week, they threw for 270 against a really good defense, right? They scored 20 points, which is not, you know, that's a lot of points for them to score. So I thought that Heineke's like a lot of guys that are undersized, that lack a powerful arm, that lack great skill. They kind of, the more games they play, the less effective they become. They don't get stronger, they get weaker. And after nine starts, I was saying it last week, I thought he was going to have to go back to Wentz. Now, what he just said there I think is critical. Wentz maybe understands what they're doing. He's got to get the ball out on time, and he's got to get it down the field, because Heineke, for all his limitations, was trying to get it down the field. He averaged 7.2 yards per attempt, whereas Wentz, when he played, he was at 6.5. I mean, that's not good enough. You can't win it. You can't win around 7, but you definitely can't win at 6.5. You know, I mean, just ask the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Brady's at an all-time low. He's at 6.1. You can't win games at a 6.1 yards per attempt. Forget about completion percentage. He's not getting any yards. So they've got to become more explosive, and maybe he's reconnected with his teammates. I mean, we're going to find out how they respond. I mean, we found out how Denver responded when Russell went back in last week against the Rams. We'll find out how Washington responds.
Yeah, from what I understand, I don't think that there's a chasm. I mean, everybody loves Heinicke in the Commander locker room, but I don't think Wentz is disliked. Remember, he just got there. It's not like they have a reason to dislike him. Heinicke's fascinating, only 206 passing yards a game in his 9 starts, but he does all of the other stuff. The team loves him. He provides a spark. There's certainly something to him as a person, but the arm strength and arm talent just isn't there. Wentz is markedly above as far as being able to push the ball down the field.
I mean, you can understand why they weren't going to go all in on Heinicke this offseason, right? It makes sense, right? There's no way. Now, the problem both guys run into is the offensive line. They're not good enough up front, you know, and that's the biggest issue, right? We talked about that with New England. New England's problems are, before you really want to kill Mac Jones or kill anybody, their offensive line's not playing well enough. It's the same thing here in Washington, especially against a front like last week against San Francisco where they're coming after you. I thought Wentz held it in there. You know, he held in there, made throws. You know, he wasn't a robot. Sometimes Wentz plays so mechanically in steps. Mm-hmm. There's no rhythm to his game. You know, there's no real rhythm. There's no feel for it. And maybe last week got him off on the right foot, you know, in terms of getting more comfortable.
Yeah, I think that's a good way of putting it. He does become a bit robotic. They got Chase Young back, a little bit of an impact, even on a pitch count. You know, Robinson and Gibson, a little 1-2 punch. The problem is, you mentioned the offensive line. Letting Sheriff walk, and I think it was just about money, that was a mistake for the Commanders. Sheriff was a tremendous guard, and they just don't. And you mentioned Leno against that kid from the Giants. Why is his name slipping my mind? The first-round draft pick, the edge there.
Oh, Thibodeau.
Leno was a turnstile. Thibodeau,
but
he's
been a turnstile all year. I mean, the tackle situation for Washington has not been good. I mean, Cornelius Lucas plays right tackle because Cosme has been hurt, the second-round pick in 21. Leno's the guy they signed from the Bears. Can you imagine getting a guy from the Bears and thinking you're improving your line? The Bears got rid of him, and the Bears don't have any linemen, you know? Yeah. I mean, that's always a concern. I mean, we're taking a guy. They need him, and we're taking him. And then they're inside. You know, Schweitzer's not a great big physical guy, so – you know, look, they're going to have a hard time blocking Miles. If they don't double Myles Garrett, this could be a turnover game. And Wentz can't afford that. But they have skill players in Washington. The Dotson kid, I know he had a big drop last week, but they've got skill players, and they can move the football when they kind of play this snail game where they kind of go slow, 2 yards, 5 yards. You know, they keep their defense off the field. They play better.
They have three studs. Two studs. McLaurin's a star. Dotson's going to be a star. Samuel, you can do some stuff with. The tight end, Thomas, is playing a little bit better. So it's not like they don't. And you mentioned Robinson after the injury starting to come back. A change of pace with Gibson. They have a lot of skill on offense. It's just the offensive line and the quarterback position. Big question marks. The defense obviously played well for the Commanders. So we shall see. Again, that number,
and they just don't score enough points, Patrick. They don't score points. They ranked 28th in the league in percentage of scoring when they start a drive, right? You know, and so that's just not good enough. They're 25th overall in points. So they don't score. They don't get the ball in the end zone. Now, fortunately, they're playing against a team that doesn't get the ball in the end zone a lot either.
Yeah, Scott Turner's offense tends to stall out just a little bit here. A couple other questions. One, if you take a look at Pittsburgh and Baltimore, that TBD next to the quarterback spot there for Baltimore, the number tells you Lamar's not playing, right? Right now. Like,
yeah,
we're sitting 2.5 with Baltimore at home. If Lamar's playing, that's above 3. So my assumption is Lamar, who wasn't at practice
yesterday, won't be playing. I'm surprised it's this close. I mean, if you like Baltimore, you better take it right now. Because I'm surprised it's this close. I think when they announce officially it's Huntley, because if you go back and watch the last game, and I have, I mean, Pittsburgh was the better team on that day. Now, they didn't win. Pittsburgh didn't stop the running game. Pittsburgh was not good in that game. They gave up 215 yards rushing, you know, but they only threw for 104. Now, since that game, Pittsburgh has played much better run defense. They went down to Carolina, held them to 21 yards, you know, and they were the more physical team. They were able to do it. But what cost Pittsburgh this game more than anything was the turnovers. Trubisky turns the ball over twice, and three times, and that killed them. And both of the two of those turnovers were in field goal range, at least makeable field goal range. And he turned it over, and that killed him. They moved the ball up and down the field on this team. They moved it pretty. They were impressive. I thought Trubisky played well. He threw for 276 in the game. I mean, he only had 9 incomplete passes, and unfortunately, 3 of them were to the opposing team. But to me, I left that game thinking, wow, Pittsburgh's really – and when I went through my numbers this week, Pittsburgh has really improved. I mean, they have really improved. And I'm surprised they're not the favorite. I really am. Even if Lamar came back, I think it should be a pick'em game. Because if you're going to get Pittsburgh in the points, and you know Pittsburgh's playing better than Baltimore. I mean, it was all – Baltimore got very fortunate to beat Atlanta last week. And Atlanta's not nearly as good as Pittsburgh. I just think, to me, that game's imbalanced. I had this game, Patrick, you know, as a 2.57 game when you break it down. Baltimore the favorite, but to me, this is teams going in different directions. When you break down the game codes and you break down where they're all going, it's a lot closer game than that. And if Huntley's going to throw for 107 yards, I think it's going to be hard. Plus, Pittsburgh got embarrassed. They ran for 200 yards against them. They're not going to let that happen.
The Rooneys made a good decision. You know, I think Tomlin was in his mid-30s when he was hired. Pretty much unknown.
Yeah.
Made the hire. And he shows his mettle over these past few seasons. Bless you. He shows his mettle over these past few seasons when, you know, they're not going anywhere. The season starts to slip away, yet the team gets better. That's been, gotten better.
It's so impressive. It's so really impressive how they've improved. And the teams they've lost to earlier in the year, they would beat now.
Listen, I know Dan Campbell is everybody's favorite. I know Pittsburgh fans get frustrated with the playoff success or lack of from Tomlin. I'll trade. Okay, I'll just be honest on the record as a Lions fan. Y'all take Tomlin, you take Campbell. Let's move forward and see what happens. He's a hell of a coach. When we come back, our buddy Will Hill is going to join. Remember, we've got Samich and we've got Palms Pressing 3 on a Thursday to come as well, and a new segment. No way, no doubt.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty: Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, football fans can turn a loss into a win with the King of Sportsbooks. Just place a first touchdown score prop bet on any Monday or Thursday night football game. If your bet loses, you're going to receive up to $25 back in free bets. This offer is available all season long. Wager confidently and take your game to the next level with BetMGM. Just log into your account or download the BetMGM app and sign up today. Again, $25 back if you lose out on your first touchdown score prop today. BetMGM, got to be 21 years or older. 1-800-GAMBLER if you have an issue. Promotional offer not available, Mississippi, Nevada, or New York. So as we welcome you back, I knew we were going to see Josh Dobbs. My assumption was it was going to be Malik starting. Michael, would you like to clarify what's happening with the Tennessee quarterback situation here?
Well, look, I said this yesterday on the show. Vrabel's way too smart, right? He's way too smart. He knows there's no chance. There's no chance he can beat Jacksonville with Malik Willis. There's no chance. So he's got this Thursday night affair that is meaningless to him. So it gives him a chance to give Joshua Dobbs 65, 70 reps, how many they get, to learn the offense, to get comfortable. We'll keep a small playlist together, let him get comfortable with the receivers, you know, get him out there, get him some experience. We're not expecting it to look good. But what we're expecting him to do is to take those 60 reps, carry him into practice next week, and feel more comfortable when the ball gets kicked off down at Duval. So to me, this is a preseason game for the Titans, and why not play Dobbs? Because there's no chance, zero chance, they could beat him with Willis. There's zero chance.
Well put. Will Hill joins. Reaction to Dobbs being a starter here. I know one of your plays is Titans team total under 13. I got 13.5 for team total. Does it change anything for you?
Makes me more nervous. I think it's possible. It's not, you know, not likely, but it's possible. Willis never starts again in the NFL. And if you're going to give me like over under 9.5 Willis starts for his career, I would definitely go under. He's just not an NFL quarterback. I don't know. I'm totally with Lombardi. I don't know how they run him out next week on the road with a chance to win the division. Now, we don't know how Dobbs is going to be. Maybe Dobbs looks worse. It'd be hard to be worse, really. I mean, not to be too hard on him, but as long as Dobbs can attempt a forward pass, he's got to be just as good as Willis. I know Willis gives you something with the legs, but can't really be worse than Willis. I don't know that Willis really ever starts again in the NFL. To me, he's just not an NFL quarterback. I don't buy this idea that he's just not ready. He's just not any good. So it makes me a little more nervous, especially somebody who's rooting for the Jaguars to win the division. I want to see Willis out there, but I expect Dobbs plays tonight, obviously, and then, you know, Dobbs plays going forward as long as he just shows a pulse out there. So makes me a little more nervous just because the unknown versus the known of Willis.
How about Jags?
They just, to me, this is all about just getting. I don't think it's you're grading Dobbs' performance tonight. It's about getting him reps. We got to get him comfortable. We got to get him where it is. We can't really. They don't expect much from him. Let's face it. But they got everything they're doing is gearing towards. We got a playoff game next week. If we win it, we're in. If we don't, we're going home. And how do I best maximize that? And so I take this game and turn it into basically a rep game. A high-speed rep game against a good defense.
And all of a sudden now, the Jags, who had lost five straight, they're minus 240 over at DraftKings to win that division, Will, which comes down to Week 18 down in Jacksonville.
Where they're probably going to be six and a half, maybe seven-point favorites. We'll see how Dobbs looks tonight. That'll affect some of it, but boy, I think that'll be at least six next week. So the Jags are in good shape here. It'll be interesting to see how they play their game versus the Texans. I guess they'll keep the foot on the gas. They've been playing well. They want to play all their starters from what Peterson said. You never know if that's the truth where, hey, we're going to start our starters, but then take them out, you know, halfway through. So we'll see. But Jags are in good shape here to win a division. And it'll make the playoffs more fun. If we get Lawrence in the playoffs with Burrow, agreed, Allen, Mahomes, Herbert, I mean, that's a lot of really good quarterbacks in the AFC. So the Jags are by far the more fun team to get in the playoffs.
No doubt. And they've got a chance. They could beat somebody, right? I don't think Tennessee, even if they, you know, with Dobbs at quarterback and the great Derrick Henry behind, it's hard. And their defense is so beat up. I mean, what Jacksonville exposed to them 2 weeks ago was they can't cover. They can't cover. And if they can't rush, if Simmons isn't 100%, it's pitch and catch out there. And Lawrence made it. Now, it's interesting. Peterson said, you play every game to win. You know, and I said yesterday, like, seriously? He said that? I mean, here's a guy that basically did a hockey substitution when they played the Giants. Remember that line shift that just went in? Oh, everybody's out, you know?
Yeah, you wonder if that was from above. That was the final week of the season 2020 where they just laid down for Washington and let Washington in the playoffs. So you wonder if that was coming from above. You never know. Again, you never know what to expect if these coaches are telling you the truth or not.
Well, it's also preservation for Vrabel tonight. Simmons isn't going to play Hooker, the safety, Dupree, Cunningham. So a lot of players. I would be shocked if we saw Derrick Henry tonight. Will, that leads to your next play. Dallas Cowboys, you're going to lay the 7 and a hook in the first half.
Yeah, I just look. I mean, maybe the Titans make a little push at the end. The Cowboys, you know, get a big lead and take their foot off the gas. Maybe, you know, your first half is just a better way to go. This will probably close 14 once you figure out all the guys that are sitting for the Titans, because I think there's more guys to come. Henry's going to be ruled out. A bunch of these guys are going to be ruled out. I actually think this closes 14. So Dallas first half, Dallas 13 for the game. I'm okay with both. I don't like laying this many points in the NFL, especially on the road. But like you guys said, this is a preseason game for the Titans. they're going to play basically nobody here. So I would expect the Cowboys here to roll.
You know, I like the first quarter, Will. I think the first quarter's three. I like the first quarter. I think that, to me, I think if I'm Mike McCarthy and I know their intentions over there with all their inactives, that what I just have to do is get this lead, get ahead of them, and then I could start taking some of my guys out. I'll get Cooper Rush in the game. I don't have to play Parsons 70 plays. You know, I can start helping my team get healthy as I get ready for the playoff game against the AFC winner.
Yeah, first quarter is three. You only have to lay 15-cent juice on the Cowboys in that first quarter. You get a total of 7.5 in the first quarter. I'd like that play, Michael Lombardi. Okay, let's look to the weekend with our buddy Will Hill here. And one, you guys were just discussing this one during the break. Carolina, you are going to catch the three at Tampa Bay, Will.
Tampa Bay is not 3 points better than any other NFL team. I know Horn is out. That's concerning. You worry about them, you know, covering the Bucs receivers, but Tampa Bay, I don't know how they're even where they're at. They've had some of these miracle wins, whether the Saints giving the game away, the Rams, Arizona the other night not running the play clock. To me, Tampa is a dreadful team. I know it's still Brady. I know you still respect the name and the uniform, but to me, they're not 3 points better than anyone. I think Carolina beats them, so I'll take the Panthers here plus the three. And Darnold's played pretty well. I've never been a huge fan of him, but they got a nice running game. He actually hasn't killed them, which is surprising. So I do think Carolina wins this one.
You know, I think Darnold's played really well. I mean, he makes a great throw to DJ Moore on an all-out blitz by Detroit. You know, he made a great throw early in the game on the outside. I mean, he's made the throws they've asked him to make. I think they're trying to find the right offense for him and keep him out of those third down plays where, you know, he throws the ball in the middle of the field and it gets intercepted. And like you said, if they run it. Now, the problem was when they couldn't run the ball against Pittsburgh, that became a real issue. And they still didn't turn the ball over in that game.
Big upgrade at quarterback for the Jets. Sounds crazy to say it, but Mike White over the number two overall pick in Wilson. You're going to lay the point and a half here at Seattle.
Yeah, to me, the Jets are just a much better roster. I think the cat's out of the bag here with Seattle. I don't know if you guys have watched Scooby-Doo when you were kids, and at the end they find the bad guy and they take the mask off. I think we've sort of taken the mask off with Seattle here. We know who they are. They're not a very good team. It's pretty simple with the Jets. You know, when Wilson's playing, you bet against the Jets. When Wilson's not playing, you bet on them because that's a good defense. You know, they got some receivers. Obviously, they miss Hall. They miss Vera Tucker. But that's actually turned into a decent roster, a pretty good roster that just needs a quarterback. White can operate the offense. I know it's not an easy place to play, but I just think Seattle, they're kind of done. And I think the Jets probably beat them here. And Jets got a shot here because Miami's now banged up without Tua. You'll see Bridgewater. Jets got a chance to sneak into the playoffs.
Well, I mean, look, Seattle hasn't won at home since they beat the Giants back in October. So they've struggled at home. And, you know, the one thing is bad lines don't travel. I'm not sure this Jet line's really good. They played really well. They blocked in Minnesota. They were able to give him time. He got the crap beat out of him against Buffalo, which caused him to miss the game. So they're going to have to protect. I know Seattle's not a great defense, but I will say this. Seattle, if they beat Seattle, it'll be because Seattle will play their best game of the season against the Jets because they know this defense better than anybody. Pete Carroll invented the defense Robert Saleh is running. And if they can't move the ball on the Jets, if they protect with the two rookie tackles, they'll never move the ball again.
First game for an interim coach angle in Kansas City with the Denver Broncos. You're going to take 12.5, Will.
Yeah, I just like betting on these teams the week after they've been embarrassed. I think they're professionals. They'll show some pride. Kansas City has shown no willingness, no ability to cover these big numbers. They just sort of pace themselves. You know, they don't win by any margin with these big spreads. We've seen it against the Rams. We've seen it against Houston. They sort of play down to their competition. So Denver's always played them pretty tough, too. I remember they had the crazy comeback a couple weeks ago where Denver at least covered the number. So it's a lot of points. You know, obviously you like the 13 because it's more of a key number, but I think Denver's competitive in this game and they bounce back and the defense plays pretty well.
Yeah, I mean, that Denver defense, I had that logic last week, you know, when it came to the Colts, it didn't work for me there. I don't know. I mean, this Denver team laid down last week, and now the substitute teacher's in place. Wow.
Well, Will, we'll keep the Scooby-Doo theme going. Go get a Scooby snack. Thanks for the hit. We appreciate you.
All right, thanks for having me, guys. See ya.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Will.
It's a casual Will Hill today with the Lombardi Line gear and the lid. I like the look. When we come back, we're going to debut a new segment. No way, no doubt.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.